Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Match Ball.
Hiya, welcome to The Match Ball, brought to you with Levi Solicitors. There's a 10% discount on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk. 15%, by the way, on conveyancing instructions until the end of January. levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Usual trio with you, Dan, Michael and Moscow at that side of the table following the 2-0 defeat in the FA Cup against West Ham. How do we feel about that then? It's hard to get too upset about the FA Cup, but at least we've got something to be angry about with the VAR.
That wasn't very magic-y, was it? Just, yeah, kind of a shit game, wasn't it?
Never really got going. I think one of the, I don't know if it was significant. I think it might be significant. There wasn't a free kick in the first, like, 10 minutes.
Was there not?
No. So, unless it was one before I noticed that I missed. But certainly...
So there wasn't any. There wasn't a free kick unless there was?
Yeah.
Right, right.
But if there was one, there was only one.
And if there wasn't one, that's significant. If well, there was what, if there was just one, is it still significant?
Because normally in the FA Cup, you're looking for that blood on your boots. Everybody's diving in. It's a muddy pitch. We got the terrible, horrible little stadium part of it, correct? But the there wasn't really the kind of
Did you not see Helder's horrific tackle on, it was Vlasic, wasn't it? Second half on the edge of the box. Sickening.
Nearly killed him, didn't he?
Yeah, it was hard to watch that.
Well, this is it from a sort of a romance of the FA Cup and isn't everything magical and lovely point of view. We've probably got the worst sort of 2022 modern version of whatever you can get. Crap VAR decision, a sort of middling B team from Leeds, a game that doesn't really get going at any point. 1-0 in the end of the first half, 2-0 at the end of the second half. Don't like football when it's like this. I like football.
But I said to you during the game, didn't I, that it felt like it's sort of that two Premier League teams not really giving it their all, probably operating on about 80%. It's not, as you said there, Moscow, it's not a first team that you're putting out there. It's not your first choice team. So it's hard to get too worked up about it. But then, you know, you see VAR and how many times have we ended up talking about shit like this season? It's just not fit for purpose, is it? Well, the VAR is not the problem. It's the actual people operating it, which, I mean, it goes without saying, doesn't it? There's not a sensible reason on this earth that you can find that that goal should not have been ruled out for offside, because Bowen is just all over in terms of being active in play. Mark Halsey, former referee, who's one of a great bunch of lads, former referees.
Always enjoyed Mark Halsey's refereeing.
Always. Big fan.
A great standard.
But he's even tweeted and said, look, that's just nonsense. As soon as he runs across Melier, he's interfering with play. So, I mean, what can you do? It's just as clear as day. They've just, as I tweeted from the Square Ball account earlier, it feels like they've tied themselves in knots trying to find reasons to be clever and how they apply the rules. It's like, it's really obvious he's interfering with play. I mean, really, really
obvious. Quite telling that at halftime when they spoke to the Germains on ITV, that both of them basically went, I don't know why it's not, why that's not, I'll given us offside. And that's people with, like, I don't know, they've had 1,000 and plus games between them, and they're both looking at it and going, that's offside, isn't it? And that's probably all the wisdom you really need on a... Offside as a rule is there for a purpose, isn't it? It's there to stop goal hanging and what have you. And it doesn't need to be... it doesn't really need to be as complicated as it is, because I'm sure they'll come out and explain something about phases of play and how...
Yeah, he wasn't interfering and then he became active.
And,
then
and by the time Bowen went for it, it was a second phase. There'll be some sort of shit like this. But actually, it just needs someone who understands the game to look at it and go, well... Yeah, obviously. Yeah, when he's offside there and then he tries to get the ball off the goalkeeper.
Yeah, so he's giving himself an advantage by being in that position in the first place to get to the ball, which he didn't touch, fine, but he's interfering with Melier, who couldn't...
He only didn't touch it by like a centimetre. He swung his boot at it.
It's down to like a fluke that whoever the other player was it Bowen? I can't remember which way around it was, or was it Lanzini who was on the ground? I can't remember. Anyway, the one who just touched it away from the offside player, who I think was Bowen.
I think it was Vlasic who was on the floor.
Right. He just touched it away before Bowen came in and got the ball. And so because they've got the frame by frame, they can go, oh, well, look at that. In this frame, he's touched the ball just in front of him. So not offside because Bowen didn't touch it. But Bowen was trying to touch it, and his attempt to touch it involved trampling on Ilan Meslier's face. And he was only able to get close enough to Meslier's face from being offside in the first place. So just whistle up and say, that's not a goal.
Yeah. The fact they took him so long to decide, it really does suggest that they were trying to look at rules and going like, well,
they're trying to be clever.
That we could say that that is this, and then that's
there's always the route to the, not the easier decision, but surely there's an instinctive feeling of the best decision here. The one that's obvious that comes to mind is no goal because he's offside and he's interfered with play. And then I don't really understand what the reason is, or the route that you then go through all those replays to find a reason why that can't be the case. Like, it seemed that would be fine. And I think I guess what I mean by the easiest decision is what's going to generate the most post-match controversy. And I don't know if David Moyes, had that goal been disallowed, would have been as annoyed as, I mean, Bielsa won't be, he'll just be fine with it, but as Leeds fans would be about the goal being allowed. It's kind of which one is going to be the one that's going to have everybody. There's going to have the two Jermaines going there going, well, that's not at all what we're expecting. I think that's the thing, is when so many people, Mark Halsey, the Jermaines, every sort of right-thinking human being who was watching the game thinks, oh, that's probably
going
to be...
I suspect even Moyes, if asked about it, if pressed on it, will be kind of going, well, yeah,
exactly.
We've got a bit lucky there.
Yeah, and if the goal was ruled out, he would have to then sort of come up with a reason why Bowen had not interfered. Mm. And the default would have to be, he's like, well, yeah, you can see quite clearly he was offside. And then, you know, Moyes would then have to argue that the other player has flicked the ball slightly away from him just before he got to it. And I don't think even with a straight face, he would be able to do that.
No, we don't need to spend too long on it because it's just so obvious, isn't it?
That, well, there's so much other good stuff to talk about.
But there is stuff to talk about. I mean, I've got notes on predominantly sort of the junior and under 23 they're not called juniors anymore. The under 23 players.
Junior's called junior.
Yeah. In the Pontins League.
Yes, that's the one. Like Hjelder, I thought was good today. Really, really impressive. And again, given that we're losing Llorente for this fixture next week, he looks like a very able deputy. I thought he had a really good game.
Yeah, I thought defensively was very good.
We were laughing about his passing, weren't we?
There was one bit, I made a note, I think it was 17 minutes, where him and Meslier just kept kind of giving it to him and going, do something with it then. And then he'd look around and go, oh, can you do it instead? I'm new. It's my first day. Let someone else do it. But I thought he was very solid. In the build-up to their goal, actually, his initial challenge was very good. They're quite physical at West Ham as well. I thought he did very well.
He did really well to get back in and get that tackle in. That then sent the ball free for the offside goal to be happening. I thought he did a better job of dealing with Antonio than Llorente, which what Llorente brought to that battle was humour. I quite enjoyed it. I was talking last week about the way Chris Wood shrugged Llorente off, and there was a lot of that, except it was more a kind of a... it was almost to the point that Antonio's carrying him. You know, when somebody... climbs on your back and you have to run in like a
human
a,
backpack.
It reminded me of playing with the kids when they sort of jump on you and you kind of
you'd be a big dinosaur or whatever.
Exactly, that sort of stuff. Because he kept sort of, he didn't shy
still,
away
I still
from
do
the,
with my dad now.
He didn't shy away from the physical battle, no. Did he, Renzo? He just never won it. Because he'd go up to, he's like, right, I'm gonna get him this time. And then I noticed how small Antonio's name looked on his back because his shoulders are such a width.
Like, has he got a smaller font on or something?
Yeah,
like
it looks it looks tiny in the middle of his enormous shoulders. But yeah, every time he tried jumping on him, he just sort of shrugged him off and went past him. But he's difficult, isn't he, Antonio? Mm. I think it's fair to say. He's a good player.
Now we've just dealt with something actual, genuine and footballing. Can I bring another petty grievance? Do you remember your book of petty grievances?
I do, yeah.
We should probably resurrect, if you're a long-term listener of the podcast, we should probably resurrect that, the Moscow White book of petty grievances. Do you still have it?
Yes, I do, and it definitely has a new life in the Premier League.
Yeah, it was just a book that we noted down all our petty grievances in, didn't we? Anyway, I want to moan about ITV's commentary. Mm-hmm. The commentator today was Seb Hutchinson, or as we could call him, Deb Butchinson, because he seemed to just make up
the
a lot of...
The old glicky.
Yeah, well, that's not glick, is it? It's click.
Well, it's not, and that's, Shut you up. Know... We always get it wrong, but I think it's okay for us to call, I think it's supposed to be Cliche. I think when Matthews has talked about it on Twitter, there was one.
Bless you.
I remember shortly after he signed, there was a debate about how Matthews pronounces his surname, and he tried to explain it to people through the medium of tweets, and it just became even more complicated as he had all these phonetic spellings. I think it's technically it's like Cliche, but it's not Glick, and we're all right calling him Click because he's our mate. Like, as Leeds fans, we can call him what we want in the spirit of just, well, it's Clicky. And his nickname, we know, is Clicky with a K, two Ks. Nobody calls him Glicky.
It's with a C on Twitter anyway, but close enough.
How do you mean?
His nickname, he calls himself Clicky with a C on Twitter.
Oh.
Well, okay. But pronunciation-wise,
as you said, don't matter. We call
it's
him
the same noise out of the mouth.
But Reb Cutchinson.
Mm. Well, the other one I enjoyed
doesn't
from
have
him
the right. Stay
was,
in your lane.
My other favourite moment was when Meslier collided with Firpo, and he said, oh, collision there, Meslier through Firpo, accidental. But thank you for clarifying that.
I was worried for a time.
Well, it would be even...
I've seen enough, I'm taking him out.
If Meslier just suddenly decided he was going to try and spark Firpo out for no reason, so it's good of...
been watching some old Scott Wotton videos.
It's good of old Bleb to point out that there was no malice intended in Meslier's tackle on his own left back.
And
although it did do some damage for Firpo going up in the second half.
Double vision. Mm-hmm.
Was it double vision? Or was he just saying it was either that or his eyes were going from side to side. It was hard to tell what he was indicating. I should have brought my googly eye glasses in. He had some of that going on. Either that or it was the Biker Grove episode.
If that is concussion though,
is he out for 2 weeks?
That's a couple of weeks, right? Isn't it?
It's going to be hard to argue it's not because of all that. You could sort of, we could say, well, no, we didn't use the concussion substitution. We don't have to enter him into the protocol. But then everyone would be like, well, he didn't look, it wasn't a leg injury.
It was slightly confusing, the sub situation, wasn't it? Because we weren't sure whether that was the concussion sub. And then we just kept making them. We're like, how many is that now? Are we up at the limit?
Yeah, we were.
Are we doing a Stuttgart here?
It's a 5-sub game in the FA Cup, which I don't like. I prefer 3. I think changing half a team is too many for me in this modern game, but that's probably a wider discussion.
What did you make of Bate in the first half?
Fine, wasn't he?
Yeah, he looked good.
He's good at... I don't know if I've had anyone who's good at pointing since Kilkenny left the club.
Really? Is that...
Loads of that running around the pitch.
What was he pointing at? Telling people where to go?
Where to pass it.
Right.
Put it there, right in front of me. Put it over there. Doing that.
Have you ever delved into sort of the pointing aspect of coaching?
No, I've not actually.
Long since it's been a feature of Leeds United's game.
Yeah,
it was another string you could add to your bow, maybe.
I'll have to see if Neil's available for a masterclass.
Maybe some consultancy work or something.
He needs to brush up on the whinging because Neil's very good at the whinging as well.
I mean, the Kilkenny brought that to the absolute zenith when he pointed and whinged at Ken Bates after he came back with Bristol and scored against us and ran to the West Stand. It's probably the only time an opposing player has goaded a Leeds United crowd, and everybody in the Leeds United crowd go, go on, Neil, because he was directing all this bile straight at Bates, who, as we know, despite the Chelsea connection, is no relation to Lewis Bates.
Or Ken Bates.
That's probably one of the bright spots of today, because we've been wanting to see Bate in the first team at some point and wondering, there's been a lot of people wondering why Bielsa seems to never use him despite praising him, and he answered that question in a press conference about it when he said, you sound like his parent or agent, and it's always just been the suspicion that he's weak. He's, you know, he's not a strong boy. He's got to do the Joffy diet. We saw when Gerhardt signed and he was a little slip of a thing, and then this season
he wasn't a little slip of a thing, he was a bit of a bulky boy, if anything. I think with Gerhardt, I think it was that he was a bit doughy.
Anyway, he
and there's nothing wrong with that.
He had some fitness things to work on to improve to become that standard. But it's good to see him in the team and against what was a strong West Ham side. I thought he looked very good, and it's kind of maybe his 15 years of glory at Leeds will end in the Champions League.
We do stream these live on YouTube for our TSB Plus members, one of which is Zach, who's pointing out quite rightly that Firpo is suspended for next week's game anyway.
Yeah, of course he is.
So it's fine. He can have a head injury and it's all okay.
Somebody has some
is
knowledge.
He? I can't remember.
No, he is. Yeah, it's Firpo and Llorente are both injured. Thank you, Zach. I'm glad somebody's keeping up with what's happening in the world of football.
And Drame, he came on when we thought we'd had 15 subs by that
Greenwood,
point.
You haven't mentioned Greenwood yet.
We'll
either.
Get to him in a minute. He's next on the list. But Drame, I was going to say, was booked for having the crime of having feet, I think, at one point, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think that was another zero contact foul that was given. And he was
You described West Ham as physical before. Was it you, Moscow? One of the two of you. And I was going to say they were only physical up to a point because they were going down like a bunch of whinging little twats, weren't they?
But he was mainly Vlasic who was doing that because he did another one when Somerville laid a finger on him in the kind of left corner
That is one thing that's sort of symptomatic, I think, of teams in the Premier League. And West Ham are no different to many other teams in this. Like, you saw how Wolves try to, you know, game the system. And they know exactly if there's any contact, the slightest bit of contact, over they go because they know they'll get it. They can buy it from the refs. They know exactly how to run the refs. And I do wonder sometimes, I do fear that we're maybe a little bit naive in that regard.
It's been more streetwise.
Cheat more.
A bit more cheaty.
Yeah, because Somerville, after he'd given that free kick away, which was, there was nothing in it, then he was kind of tapped in the other corner and stayed on his feet. And it was actually brilliant. He started dribbling into the penalty area when anything could have happened. But it is the way that all the other teams play.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Oh, we've had a steward's inquiry. Paul's saying he thought it was Llorente and Roberts, not Firpo. So we might be wrong. We might have to backpedal her.
I didn't think it was Firpo.
Anyway, he's going to be out next week, regardless, any by the looks of it.
Yeah, probably. Which means Dallas can move position again. Which
we had 11 Stuart Dallases today, didn't we?
Oh, dear. Every change. Just as you think you've got him settled in a position, he starts moving again.
What did you make to Drame then, just to close that one out?
That was fine.
Did all right, didn't he?
I'm trying to remember anything that happened.
Well, he didn't look quite as rabbity in the headlights as he did maybe when, obviously he looked a little bit like that against Arsenal, getting caught on the wrong side a couple of times, albeit that's against Arsenal.
I feel like West Ham were actually quite a good side to play with a bit of an inexperienced mishmash of a team, because they're a team that plays in quite a controlled way. Like, I don't feel like they're going to beat many teams like 5 or 6-0, because they're just quite organised and structured, and they're not going to take risks in the same way as, as someone like Arsenal might, but they also might happen to spank you in the first half.
We've had Bielsa's comments have just come in now, which we'll get to, but let's do to Greenwood first. What did you make to Greenwood? I thought he linked up okay while never really having any end product or final ball. I don't think you can. It was a solid sort of 6 out of 10, I think. I
felt a bit sorry for him.
Why?
Because we just kept putting balls into the box, and they've got massive centre-backs, and Greenwood's about, what is he, about 5'8", 5'9" or something? He's not going to win any headers anyway, and that are just... Particularly not when there weren't ever crosses where we had them stretched and he was able to peel off at a back post or anything. It was him stood fairly static in the box with a load of defenders around him and us occasionally putting a ball in. It's like, well, what do you expect? And I thought he was all right.
Yeah, it was the Arsenal game that I think was suspended for, by the way.
I think you can see why he would be behind both Roberts and Gelhardt, is what I would say from that. Mm. But that's no great crime on his part.
Mm. It's the nature of the beast, isn't it? Bielsa's comments then. It's better to accept the decision of the officials, even if they jeopardise us.
Okay. That's about as critical as I think we've ever heard from Bielsa.
I don't think he means it in a critical way, does he? I'm sure when we hear the full quote,
it's almost like what can you do about it?
Well, no, it's just like, even if decisions are going against us, it's better not to criticise them, whether it's in our favour or not. And I'm, I don't think he'll be. You're hearing the voice of Gary Monk in that, yeah. I think, which it would be, you know, better for the group to accept the decision of the group of officials, even if when we put it on the pitch, they jeopardize the group, which would mean, you know, that was a stupid decision. I just want to say, whereas Bielsa, he'll be doing his standard thing of whether it's in our favor or not. Just don't talk about the officials, just accept the decision and move on.
And it's hard to manage, says Marcelo, 9 players being missing, including Bamford. Obviously, we've got 4 players who cover 2 positions who are all out. Forces us to be very careful. On the Bamford injury, we've now learned that he recovered from his hamstring injury and he was going to play, but he did get that knock after the press conference. A knock underneath his hip.
I don't know if it makes it sound like...
Underneath his hip.
Does that mean an internal knock or does it mean lower down the leg?
It says, it would have been prostate exams or something. How do you get... Okay.
Well, you've got a bit in a bit much there, doctor.
Front or back. Somebody need him in the bollocks. That would be an injury underneath the hip, wouldn't it?
So it was abdominal, wasn't it? Eddie and Nketiah's.
Well, yeah. Twisted abdomen. Twisted abdomen. Both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Twisted around each other.
The hanging abdomen, abdomen that he had issues with. Neil Kilkenny's still playing, by the way.
Oh, okay. Right now?
Well, possibly. Yeah. Western United Football Club, managed by John Aloisi. There you go. Get him back.
Yeah, it's hard work, isn't it, having 9 players injured?
Yeah, and I think we saw some of that in the Greenwood's performance where he generally doesn't play as a 9 in the other 23, so he's a 10 and it's Gelhardt who's the striker normally.
Wasn't he signed as a 9 though, Moscow?
Well, he's just a 4. He can do it. He's young enough to do anything that he puts his mind to, apart from score against West Ham, and he did look a little bit lost up there as well. And I think in the closing stages when we had Drama and Somerville down the right-hand side who are absolutely superb in the under-23s, but then you saw Somerville when he tried to play the little pass through to Harrison and it was just kind of,
just throwing 7 up down myself.
Okay.
Sorry, carry on.
And then Drama tried to play one down the line as well to click and just kind of overhit it in a way that a young player on his second or third go is going to happen. So there was just, it's one of those things where you can understand why Bielsa is reluctant to give in to the claim sometimes, like, why isn't Bate playing? It's like, well, because at his age, he's more likely to make those kind of mistakes than Click, who makes them all the time anyway. So maybe that reverses it anyway.
On to more of Bielsa's comments, just returning to the injury, actually. Just watching these come in live at the minute. It isn't clear what Bamford's injury is, but it's not muscular, so it could be the prostate.
Why do we have to get these mysterious injuries? It's like with Rodrigo and Strauss, isn't it? Where they just he's just kind of going, well, the very odd injuries. We'll find out eventually. I noticed today when turned out it was fine, but when Click just kicked a football out of play and then looked injured, it's like, how's he got injured from this? It just feels like at the moment that we can't do anything without people getting injured.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying Bielsa says that, or Adam Pope is reporting it as a teammate fell on Gelhardt's ankle, which is a week on from a teammate falling on Charlie Cresswell's shoulder. And ordinarily, I would point the finger straight at Gianni Alioski under these circumstances. But if there was going to be one benefit of letting him go, it would surely have been an end to this kind of roustabouting.
That's a good word. I like that.
I'm not sure it's the right word, but it's all I've got.
Yeah, die on that hill, it's fine. Bielsa sort of suggesting they were slightly more dangerous, West Ham, and probably on balance deserved it. Would you agree with that? You know, in light of everything?
Probably. When I said at the start it was a crap game, it's because it felt like when both teams got to the final third, neither really had any particular cutting edge. They did have better chances than us.
I loved and will always cherish and respect Ryan Fredericks for going down the line with about 3 or 4 players all lining up on the edge of the box, any one of whom, I can't remember who they were, but if we assume Bowen is involved...
I think Rice was one of them.
Yeah, he's got a shot on him, hasn't he? There's enough players there who would have just absolutely smacked it straight in the net. And he's like, nope, I'm going to take this to the most difficult angle possible and smash it across the goal.
We were also sat here going, why didn't he just pass it to his mates, even though it was for West Ham? You're like, what's he done?
He showed an angle from behind the goal and they're all of them just stood with their arms wide open, just like, any chance here?
Greedy bastard.
So well in Fredericks. And then we did have... We maybe had the better chances in the second half when it got desperate towards the end with the ones of, I suppose it was a bit earlier when Click, the dropping ball that
he shot, didn't he?
Well, I think he did the right thing of just like ping this into the 6-yard box and let's hope we get lucky, but he forgot that he plays for Leeds, so we don't get lucky. And it kind of hit it was a bit of James and a bit of Harrison, and neither of them had time to kind of, you wouldn't hold anything against anybody in that situation because it was fine for Click to ping it in and too soon for either of them to kind of trap and score. And then the other one was...
It was James, wasn't it?
It was James again, where it got cleared just in front of him. Was it a Jackie cross?
I think it was... Yeah, it could have been. I might have been Dallas, actually. I can't remember at that point, but it went
everybody
through.
The one that bounced off him?
It went through the defender's legs, didn't it? Mm. Which was right, who was right in front of him. So he wasn't expecting it to get through, obviously. So by the time it did, his feet were all wrong.
Just bounced off his ankle, didn't
and
it?
And we should have been given extra time anyway, just for sending Melier up.
Yeah.
Mm.
As soon as that happened, the referee should have said, yeah, you can have a goal for Endeavour.
Yeah, because then...
But instead, West Ham got a goal.
They got their second. I'd remarked on that in that second half. So we'll end up pushing forward, trying to get an equaliser, and they'll score a late one. Just to confirm a 2-0. Although you were adamant we were going to win right up to when they scored their second, Moscow, even when we were 1-0 down.
I'm very optimistic.
Yeah.
I like it when Leeds win, so I was hoping something good would happen.
Does Bowen always score against us? It feels like it.
Yeah.
It's like he's kind of a modern Alan Shearer.
It's all revenge for us not signing him, because there was the January when he went to West Ham was being talked up as the January when he was coming. And I think we did get involved in the bidding, but I suppose Premier League.
They paid like 20 million quid for him, didn't they?
Whereas I think we were offering like a 5 quid for a loan, and then we'll sign him at the end of the season if we go up, and then we'll pay you another 20 quid. And
but even at the time, there was a...
there was the Dan James window, wasn't it?
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Which obviously went well.
But at the time, well, we've got him now. There was an element of not wanting him anyway because of how annoying he'd been for Hull against us. So there was... I don't mind us not signing him. Even though he is now turning out to be quite good.
The whole FA Cup kind of dilemma is laid bare in the comments that he's made, Bielsa, in the post-match, saying he didn't want to play a full team of 23s because people would claim he didn't respect a historic competition. But that suggests that there was a temptation.
Mm. I don't know what to make of it. I've been looking at other results and choosing to believe what was for the best, which is unlike me. But like Burnley losing, I'm kind of thinking, oh, good, that'll really damage the confidence. But then Everton winning, I'm going, oh, good, more games
for
them.
They're busy.
So I don't know which way is the best. It feels like a nice, respectable exit.
Yeah. In many ways, it's the perfect exit if you're going to choose one, isn't it?
It's going to be like ninth on Match of the Day, is this probably, because it's like there's no real story there. It's just...
No magic of the cup. In our Extra Ball Buttercup, by the way, which exactly. Subscribers will enjoy.
One team that is above another team in the same league beats that team with a home advantage in a weekend. So it's just... It's nothing,
isn't it? Like, yeah. Well, like next week, if we came close to getting a point or got a point, point's going to feel good next week, isn't it? We'll feel. I think maybe even a point next week is going to feel equal to a victory today.
If we're going to go down that these things even themselves out as well, maybe a nice VAR decision.
Well, my fear about today was that we'd win today, so then we wouldn't be allowed. The fates would conspire to not allow us to win next week. But now, by losing today, we've given ourselves a chance next week.
Mm.
And also, West Ham are playing midweek against Norwich, which they are not happy about. Moyes was having a pre-match moan about that being it's a rescheduled COVID match. So they have to get through that while we...
Who are they playing, sorry?
Norwich.
Norwich.
Who will obviously be a stern test. And but we have to just concentrate on knocking the shit out of each other in Murder Ball.
Would you maybe stay down there, take the lads on a little bit of a tour of London?
No, it's a horrible place. Spend the least time there as you possibly can.
Oh, there's that big wheel thing by the Thames, and you could go on the...
There's a big wheel in Victoria Gardens in Leeds.
Yeah, have they got the Natural History Museum in Victoria Gardens? I mean,
there's no natural history in
Leeds Museum's got some stuffed animals in the basement.
Yeah, exactly. So,
what animals has it got?
There's a tiger, I think.
Yeah, we've got a hippo.
There's a moose.
Found
a moose.
The Wortley hippo.
Was it in Wortley?
Yes. The Bowen scored both his goals for Hull against us at Elland Road in a 2-0 win for Hull in, I think it's Bielsa's first season. So it's just before we were mulling over buying him. I don't have, for some reason, Transfer Macht will not put the date of the game.
I don't know if you're aware, by the way, but you know when we had Billy Painter, he was actually nicknamed the Wortley hippo when he was playing for Leeds.
But that's one.
The best I've got.
That's the only other time that he scored against us. He does have an assist against us.
Is that
for
it? Really?
West Ham. Yeah, I think it's just because it was a really annoying defeat, because you don't want to lose to Hull under the best of circumstances. And the date was it was that game, 29th of December. So he ruined Christmas just before the January window opened when we might have signed him.
Hey, speaking of killing animals.
So he's written his own fate.
Speaking of killing animals.
Is this Trevor Brooking's wife?
I made a note of Trevor Brooking's wife being in fur between somewhere between the 56th and the 73rd minute. What do you think that fur all came from Stuart Atwell's mink farm?
Does he have a mink farm?
Definitely. Mistreats them as well.
Mm. Like all East End mums, she looked dressed for the FA Cup. I think that's the thing that's annoyed me most. It's not Trevor Brooking's wife, but the whole West Ham FA Cup thing. Because Mark Noble, who obviously captained them from the bench today, as he always does, was giving it the full tears before the game, where he's like, oh, it's me last season, we West Ham, you know, we magically win the FA Cup, and you know, we'll get the red naps round and the Lampard, and we're all the Pearly Queen. I mean, they're not.
Did you say Pearly Queen there?
Whoever.
Pearly Kings, Pearly Queens.
Somebody pearly will turn up. If we get some pearl soap.
I love how much this has annoyed you.
Well, they've not even won it since 1980.
I'm still not quite sure what you're saying.
The last time they won it was 1980 when it was Trevor Brooking, who's always like, oh, well, I never scored a header apart from that one in the cup.
Well, you know, right.
And it's annoying. I would have liked to knock them out for that, just to ruin some dreams, but we'll just have to rely on whoever plays them next. This is it. This competition's been important to me throughout my whole life as a boy, living in a house full of West Ham fans. I was told all the stories of old Bobby Moore and Billy Bonds lifting the FA Cup, Ronnie Boyce.
There were 12 of us in one room.
I've never even heard of Ronnie Boyce, but if I said to you, who did Ronnie Boyce play for in the 60s?
Ronnie Boyce was one of the enforcers for the craze. He served 17 consecutive life sentences.
And doubled up as a reserve midfielder for West Ham.
We can't rule it out. And even then, because these were his programme notes that were already out, so it then if you want the rampant commerciality that fits in with everything, because they've got that massive free stadium that everybody hates and they can't fill. I'm told there'll be thousands of young fans here on Sunday, and whether you're a junior season ticket holder or a claret member or whatever tier of, you know, payment that your parents have paid, attending your first game at London Stadium, or a young Leeds supporter cheering your team on, I hope you really enjoy the day. There's nothing better than going to football with your family and friends to give your team a cheer.
join in
the songs and have a fantastic time.
Fantastic.
So was that Dick Van Dyke?
Did we hear any West Ham songs today apart from when they bombarded them? They have to force bubbles into the face of every man, woman and child in the stadium, otherwise they'll sit in silence.
Stuart
All
Atwell.
I could hear was Leeds songs.
I think Ronnie Boyce gets a mention in a Half Man Half Biscuit song, actually.
Stuart Atwell force feeds bubbles to the mink.
He does. Bubbles being the murdered chimp of Michael Jackson. He's an absolute.
Has Trevor Brooking's wife got
vile beast
bubbles hanging up in the cupboard at home?
I feel like the way we've gone.
It's a question I'm asking you.
It's what I'm legally not allowed to answer. Everyone.
You could just say no. Definitely not.
I'm not a liar, am I?
I'm sure she's a lovely. She must have absolute patience of a saint to listen to Trevor going on about. I didn't get many with me, Ed.
I think given how far we've gone off piece shows how much importance we put on this.
Yeah, it's the magic of the FA Cup.
And
Moyes says he's not seen a rerun of the first goal, but in real time, he says it didn't feel it would be ruled out.
So it's almost like they put in a video assistant referee to help under circumstances where it all unfolds too quickly for the human eye, and they could just correct obvious decisions.
To go further on Bielsa's view on it, he said he won't criticise officials because it would mean entering terrain which would not be good for football.
Mink farms.
Criticising officials.
Trevor Brooking wife news.
Go on then.
In June 1970, he married Hika, a Finnish au pair.
Hmm. And is that her?
It doesn't say he's been...
Is she the present Mrs. Brooking?
Doesn't say he's been to anyone else.
It might have just been a lady that was sat next to Trevor Brooking.
Yeah, that's true.
We don't know for sure.
Maybe he, because at home, going, who the fuck is that?
Wearing my coat.
We should wrap this up because we have gone quite far off piste. But Paul does mention in the YouTube comments that Marcelo's record of not winning an FA Cup game does continue. Well, it stands.
He's got a better record in the league. Mm. So that stands us in good stead for next week.
Last team we beat in the FA Cup is, do you know, off the top of your head?
Cambridge.
Correct, yes.
Only because you tweeted it yesterday.
That's right, yeah. Spoiler alert.
So we're doing better than old Newcastle still, with their Kieran Trippier.
That is the important thing. We'll wrap it up there then. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We will return with... are we doing propaganda for this?
Yeah, I suppose
so. It'd
be 2 weeks running, won't it? It'd be a lot of Cockney.
Because we'll be able to track the Cockneys from
1 week
this
to the
week when we've lost to them to next week when we beat them.
That's a good point. Yeah. So Propaganda will be coming up in a couple of days.
Oi. Is that one, isn't it? That's the tune.
Yes.
For it.
And the weekly show as well. And if you are a TSB Plus member, on the emails, isn't it, feedback form?
Yeah, the links on the, you know, the dildo might be back.
Who's that?
Remember, he had to apologise profusely for the presence of the dildo.
Oh, he did, didn't he? Yes.
So we may have dildo man.
West Ham TV man, yeah.
If he's still got to, maybe that's what's still sorry about something.
Maybe that's what we need. Marital aids.
I think that's what's done for Bamford.
Yeah.
Possibly.
On which note, thank you.
The Match Ball.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.